I've been playing around with this stuff since 1986, because my lawyer, or my, not my lawyer, my employer gave me unrestricted access to a pretty powerful laptop at the time, so I rigged up my work truck with APRS DOS. There was a DOS client. And I bought a DeLorme yellow hockey puck GPS that I modified. I glued a bunch of magnets in the bottom so I could stick it on the top of the work truck. And then I had a big old Cantronics TNC and a Yaesu 25-watt mobile rig. So that was my first APRS mobile setup. So I've been doing this for a bit, and I've made probably all the mistakes. If not, the day is still young. I can find more mistakes to make. Anyway, automatic packet reporting system. What is it? I had the great fortune of spending a fair amount of hours talking about APRS with the guy that invented APRS. And that was his hot button. If you called it automatic position reporting system, he would lose his mind. So it was always automatic packet reporting system. Because if you just say position, you're focusing on only one aspect and not necessarily the right aspect. So what is APRS? Real-time digital communication. I'm not a fan of using the word tactical in a ham radio application, because at one point in my life, I was a trigger puller, and tactical has a whole different definition for me. Anyway, real-time digital communications. The primary operating mechanism is AX25 packet radio. A classic from actually from the late 1970s, but still highly useful. It's one of those things kind of like TCP/IP and DNS and simple network management protocols, stuff that was invented a long time ago that's still useful. There are other flavors, people playing around with using Vera as the transport layer. There's some people playing around with LoRa as a transport layer for APRS. However, they don't natively work with the most popular way people are using APRS. It's enhanced by an internet component called APRS-IS, which is APRS-IS, which is internet system. All the functionality of APRS is enhanced by it, but you don't need it. You know, like if you roll up in some place that, you know, an EF5 tornado has just erased from the earth and you've got no infrastructure, as soon as there's two APRS stations in, you know, in radio range of each other, boom, you've got the, you know, you've got 90% of the functionality of the APRS system. Okay, information exchange has two methods. One is broadcast, the other one is two-way. More on this later. It's a self-organizing network in that you have two APRS stations in radio range. Now you've got an APRS network, and the fun just goes from there. The more, the merrier. APRS is a very flat network, so you don't... it doesn't require a whole lot of pre-coordination to make it work. You show up, you know, you show up in an MCOM situation, turn on your APRS radios, and now you can start making things happen. It's not mesh per se, but it has mesh-like characteristics. The difference being like mesh-tastic. How many people in the room are playing with mesh-tastic stuff? Okay, the biggest difference is when you're not actively communicating, the mesh nodes are broadcasting to each other. So each mesh node is building up a table inside of who it can talk to, where, how far away, what the quality of that connection is. APRS, you don't have any of that. But when you get, you know, a handful of stations together in inside radio range, you can now have that mesh-like functionality. So you can send messages to each other, you know, position data, all kinds of fun stuff with zero setup. You just show up, as long as everybody's on the same frequency, away you go. All right. I alluded to this a little bit. Bob Reninga, WB4APR, smart guy. Very, very smart guy. Like I said, I had the pleasure several summers of camping right down the road from his beach house. And we would literally talk 2 or 3 hours in the evening on 5-2 about APRS. And you know, that's like going and learning lightsaber from Yoda. So I was really blessed. All right, the problem that APRS solved that caused Bob to invent it, the U.S. Navy midshipmen during the summertime, they're not like your average college kids where they're just, you know, working summer jobs, hanging out at the beach, all that good stuff. Now, the Navy puts them to work. In this case, they have some patrol boats called YPs, and they literally run these YPs all over the Atlantic, and they're crewed by midshipmen. So the Navy does like to keep track of its resources. So Bob came up with a way to leverage HF APRS to get over the horizon, look back to these yard patrol boats. Bob made a really good choice building on AX25 networking. Now at the time, AX25 really had come into its own around 1979, 1980. Actually, the original packet radio was actually around 1975, but that was in Canada, and it was done by a group of hams in Vancouver, and it was referred to as the Vancouver Protocol. AX25 and Vancouver Protocol are, while at the physical layer, the tones that were modulated over the radio were the same, the formatting was incompatible. So if you remember the days before TCP/IP, when you had Banyan Vines and Microsoft local network, you know, work groups and all these other fun stuff that now everybody just plugs into the wall and we do TCP/IP. Same kind of concept, one standard one. In this case, AX25 won the packet war. Bob was a very frugal guy. He tried, you know, he tried to do the most with what he had to hand. AX25 was the packet radio technology to hand, and while only a little piece of it's really useful for APRS, he took that ball and ran with it. All right, it differs from traditional packet connected mode packet. Back in the height, you know, the early 90s, the height of packet radio. When I wanted to send a message, let's say to John, I would get in my little DOS command line and type CWB2MNF. My radio would call his radio and say, "Hey, I want to talk to you." And then John's radio responds with an acknowledge and said, "Okay, go ahead." And now we start sending frames back and forth to each other. When I send John a frame, he sends back another frame called an ACK. So he's acknowledging that he received my packets. Way more of a rat hole, but if anybody's interested in exploring traditional packet more, get a hold of me. So that's connected mode packet. We exchange back and forth until we're done, and then we disconnect or drop the connection.
And it's guaranteed to go through.
And it's guaranteed. In modern networking parlance, what I described is a TCP frame, and what APRS uses is called a UDP frame. So in this case, broadcast mode, we just send out the packet. We have no way of knowing who received it. Did they receive the packet intact? Was there a static record? We don't know any of that. So APRS makes up for that by redundantly sending a lot of information. It would not be the protocol that you'd want to use if you were designing this thing from scratch. But again, Bob was leveraging something that he had right at hand. So broadcast mode is the primary mode where APRS packets travel on the ether. All right. APRS features the one that everybody knows, location tracking. But this is not just, now there's a fair number of folks that, you know, do this for, you know, vanity. They set up an APRS tracker in their vehicle and then they look on the internet and they say, oh, I can see myself drive around. And that's kind of where they stop with it, which is a shame. That's like climbing Mount Everest and then stopping 10 feet from the top and, oh, I can see it from there, and then turn around and walking away. Yeah. So if you've done everything to get your packet out on APRS, man, you've saddled the horse. Get on it and ride. So you can locate obvious things like vehicles, ambulances, fire engines, supply trucks, sag wagon in the MS-150, those type of things. It's a resource that's moving around. But you can also location track places, EOCs, hospitals, distribution points. Why do I want to track something that's hopefully standing still?
In case you need to get to it.
Exactly. Exactly. This is actually one feature that we've kind of lost in the way APRS is utilized today. But back in the 90s, a lot of people liked the Garmin standalone GPSs. The Garmin, I don't know if there was a ham working at Garmin, but boy, they implemented a lot of features that made Garmin equipment super useful with APRS. One of those being their little mapping GPSs. The communications was two-way. So I could designate something, let's say it's post-tornado and people need water, so there's a freshwater distribution point. Well, I can mark that on my map, and now my APRS client would broadcast that to other people, but it would also, my own GPS would sniff that data stream and say, okay, that's a waypoint. Well, now I can navigate to it in the Garmin GPS. I could just pick that waypoint and say, go to. And if you had all the maps and everything loaded in the GPS, it would actually route you on the roads, let you navigate to a particular resource. We used this several times in actual real world applications and, you know, derechos and some other type of storm activity where we had shelters open. And it was great because you didn't have to tie a mobile with that kind of resource. You wouldn't even have to tie up any type of voice resource. You could just send that station a waypoint and then they can say, go to. And through some other APRS mechanisms, they could say their status. They could say, change their status to en route. I'm headed there. In service, I'm there working. I'm returning back to home base. So that's a super functionality we had that's not easy to replicate today. Okay, objects, similar to places, but objects, the difference between a place and an object is an object has usually a velocity and a vector associated with it. So that would be something that could move. So, and I know that seems kind of strange, but think if you create a storm, a thunderstorm cell object, and based on observation, somebody on the ground said, oh, yeah, that's moving. All right, it's moving due east. All right, looks like it's moving about 25 miles an hour. I could put that vector east, let's say 90 degrees, and 25 miles an hour is a guesstimate. And now that object will sit there and move because all the APRS clients know that, hey, this is a moving object, and it said it was going in this direction at this speed, so it'll just automatically calculate and plot that position. But that's not something that's intrinsic to a radio. You really need to run a client on a computer to get some of these really fancy features. Okay. Oh, one other thing about objects. Repeater has an asterisk next to it because there's some things you can do to make that repeater object not just a point on the map, but something that's useful to everybody that comes into the area. And then you have areas. Severe. A lot of the clients will listen. They already have file geometries in as part of the client, and there are stations that will broadcast, let's say a severe thunderstorm warning for Lancaster County. And if you're looking at APRS.fi or you're looking at your local client, all of a sudden you'll see a red polygon show up around Lancaster County, showing where this warning area is. It's something you don't get on a radio. You'll see an object come up there and it'll give you a location relative to you. But if you want to see on a map, you got to run an APRS client to get those features. But it's really, it's super useful for maintaining information in especially an MCOM environment.